Good morning once again, and welcome to the Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Let's put this scripture in its context, as is our custom, beginning in verse 6. We have the account of the conversion of Saul, who would later become the Apostle Paul. Now it happened, as I journeyed and came near Damascus at about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. And those who were with me indeed saw the light and were afraid, but they did not hear the voice of him who spoke to me. So I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all things which are appointed for you to do. And since I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you, that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now it happened when I returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple that I was in a trance and saw him saying to me, Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. So I said, Lord, they know that in every synagogue I imprisoned and beat those who believe on you. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting to his death, and guarding the clothes of those who were killing him. Then he said to me, Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. We shall deal with three points in the narrative by asking ourselves when we come to them the question, and now why are you waiting? First, with regard to Christian conversion. Secondly, with regard to Christian baptism. And third, with regard to Christian service. First, Christian conversion. We read in our extended scripture this morning that Saul was overcome by a great light. Sometimes God converts a man or a woman in a drastic manner. But he far more often does so more subtly. There are some who can give only a general time of their Christian conversion, while others can tell you hour, minute, and second. Regardless of manner or circumstance, every Christian conversion is a miracle. Just as every physical birth of a newborn baby is a miracle, so too is every spiritual birth of the newborn babe in Christ. Let me read to you the account of a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, in John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." See, the Bible teaches that there are two deaths. There is physical death, and there is another kind of death, spiritual death. I pray that each of you in my hearing this morning will experience the first, but not the latter. Now, if there be two deaths, there must then be two births. The distinction is this: physically, all are born and all die. Spiritually, we are either born or we die. Physically, we have a birth and a death. Spiritually, we have a birth or a death. You are spiritually alive, or you are spiritually dead. Jesus put it this way: "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Has passed, in other words, from the state of spiritual death to the state of eternal life, both of which conditions are irrevocable. Perhaps you have not believed upon God's one Savior, but this you may do today. This transaction you may complete in the quietude of your heart before a holy God who calls you to do it. So then I ask you, and now, why are you waiting? Our second application, which arises from the text this morning, is with regard to Christian baptism. We have several examples in the book of Acts of men being converted in heart and then submitting to Christian baptism shortly thereafter. We know this to be the case with Saul, who became Paul. We read that he submitted to such Christian baptism in an earlier account in the book of Acts. But perhaps the clearest example that we have with regard to readiness for Christian baptism is found in the story of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8. The narrative reads this way. Then Philip was an evangelist. How will they hear without a preacher, right? He opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. You see, this Ethiopian eunuch was probably on his way back from one of the appointed pilgrim feasts of Israel. He was apparently a believer in the God of Israel. He was diligently searching the scriptures, and he was in Isaiah chapter 53. So notice what Philip does. He meets him right where he's at. And he begins to preach Jesus to him. That Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that God had said aforetimes. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Now, it is likely that the Ethiopian eunuch had not heard very much about the Christian doctrine of baptism. But within the context of that day, water baptism was something that the Jews would practice with regard to proselytes, in other words, converts to the God of Israel. And baptism, though it means immersion, can more comprehensively be defined as an identification with someone or something. And so when we undergo Christian baptism, the initiatory rite of the faith, we are being immersed as an outward sign of the fact that we are inwardly identified with Jesus Christ and his gospel. That we believe that when he died for us. That we believe that when he suffered, that he was paying the penalty for all of our sins, past, present, and future. That we believe that he was buried, and that he rose again bodily as proof, as the ultimate miracle attesting to the fact that Jesus is God's Messiah, God's Christ, and that he has achieved victory over death once for all. That in believing this, that because he lives, we have faith that we will live also. Now you may be able to sincerely profess your faith in Jesus Christ today. I hope that you can. But perhaps you have not yet been baptized by water. Next week, after service, you will have the opportunity to do so. Now, one of our number has been baptized previously, and she has expressed her willingness to renew the commitment of her baptism. And so next week after service, we will be going down to Oakland Beach, as is our custom for baptisms. And along with that recommitment ceremony, we don't rebaptize people, but a recommitment is a beautiful thing. If you've never been baptized in Christian baptism as a believer, I encourage you to do so. So then, I ask you, as Ananias asked Saul, and why? Now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Our third application arising from our text is that of Christian service. Having been converted and having been baptized with water, Paul is commissioned for service. Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles. His was a special call to an apostolic ministry. He was to become the apostle to the Gentiles. Christian friend, whether great or small in the eyes of men, you have been called to fulfill your unique service to the Lord. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now, friend, put first things first. Do not expect God to give you a large task if you have not proven your faithfulness first in small tasks. For who has despised the day of small things? He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. Therefore, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Whether it be a kind word, whether it be an earnest prayer, or whether it be a visible act of service. If something were to come upon your heart and you're considering doing it, I ask you then, and now, why are you waiting? The Lord has need of you. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Christian friend, there is much to do of lasting value. And now, why are you waiting? You have become a Christian, and you have put off baptism. Up to this point. And now, why are you waiting? Perhaps you have put off becoming a Christian. Maybe you love your sin and the sinful way that you are living a little bit too much. But today, the gospel of Jesus Christ has made its way to your heart. And you realize that the time is now. Yet, in the flesh, you still wish to procrastinate. So I ask you, and now, why are you waiting? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And now, why are you waiting? Lord God, each one in the hearing of this message, beginning with the preacher, has need of this challenge from your word. It's my prayer, it's our prayer, that this word hits home in the hearts of every hearer. To the glory of God the Father, into the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his kingdom on heaven and on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.